Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. I want to remind you all that you can weigh in and let your voice be heard each and every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. on WKAR AM 870 by following me on Twitter at Al Martin, WKAR, like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, or even email me at almartin@wkar.org. You guys know the drill. Y'all don't have to keep reminding you, do I? Well, I'm still going to do that. Don't be shy. Hit us up. We want to hear what's on your mind. Of course, you can give us a ring right here at Current Sports by dialing 517-355-9527. And how have you been enjoying the show so far? I encourage all of the dedicated Current Sports fans out there to let us know what you liked, don't like, and post some conversations that you would like to hear discussed right here on the show. Again, tweet me, Facebook me, or email me. We want to hear, as always, what's on your mind. And it is Monday, so you know that on today's show, we have a motivational speaker who's really just been setting everyone on fire, especially with his first segment. Motivational speaker DeAndre Carter will be joining us later on for Motivational Mondays. This week, DeAndre has a special message for the Michigan State football team and also Tiger Eldrick Woods. Yes, or Eldrick Tiger Woods, excuse me, I forget, yeah, that's his first name, gents. You don't want to miss that. That's later on at the bottom of the hour in Current Sports. All right, well, let's get this party started. Before we dive into our current sports topics, we have a special guest that knows a thing or two about the game of golf. Now, he's a Michigan State University alum and was announced as the 10th coach in MSU men's golf history on June 30th, 2011. He spent three seasons with Miami University in Ohio, and he's the head golf coach of Michigan State now. And before all of that, he spent three seasons as an assistant coach for the MSU men's golf team. It's truly my pleasure to welcome Casey LeBon to Current Sports. Casey, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Al. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks a lot for joining us on the show today.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. It's a little dreary out here for golf, but we can talk golf in any weather.
Exactly. I mean, you could talk at any time of the week, any time of the season. I mean, but the thing, yeah, that rain is definitely, putting some frowns on people's faces, golf enthusiasts today. But, hey, it happens, right? It happens.
It's part of what we deal with.
Yes, it is. Now, Casey, let's go back in time for a minute. When did you realize that you wanted to be a coach in the game of golf?
Oh, good question. You know, I was golf. I think golf touches us, and we all learn the game at different rates. But when I was 19 years old, I wasn't a very good player, and I was trying to walk onto the team at Michigan State. And at 20, something clicked, and I made the team. I became one of the top players on the team. And from that point on, I think like all of our guys, the dream is to turn pro, go play for a living, go play on TV, mm-hmm. As I got into my senior year, it became apparent to me that my time with competitive golf needed to come to a close. I was probably trying too hard, squeezing too tight, and my coach really appreciated at the time how I handled myself and thought maybe I could help as an assistant coach. I saw some things in my, when you're a senior, you go through a checkout interview. I said, these are some things I think the program can do better as I was leaving as a senior. Mm-hmm. And he turned over and looked at me and he said, well, if you think we can do them better, why don't you come help us? And that was the first time I had thought about it. And a week later, I started as our assistant golf coach.
Wow.
So, kind of one of those things where, great leaders, great mentors touch you at the right time. And it became my life's passion, that's for sure.
Yes, it's all about timing. Now, you said at 19, you weren't that good. Now, Casey, for me, who's just an average golf guy, what do you mean by not that good? Because I'm sure you're not that good is not out. Mine not that good.
Obviously, I spent my life doing it, but competitively, I hadn't reached anywhere near what we consider a Big Ten level. But I loved it so much, I just kept playing. I actually worked in the legislature here in Lansing. I was a student at Michigan State at the time. I was really just focused on a lot of other things. But I kept playing because I liked to compete. Mm-hmm. And, in the summertime between 19 and 20, I made a jump from being a decent amateur player to being maybe one of the top three or four amateur players in the state, just with a little confidence and a little luck, a little good fortune. And, from there, then I became a good player because I believed in it. But I would think at 19, I just didn't have as strong a belief in myself as I ended up getting after that.
Now, Casey, when it comes to the game of golf, now everyone has a different game. The dynamic of golf is so different because there are so many parts and components to it. Now, when you talk about the coaching aspect, how do you go about approaching that when it comes to a team?
Yeah, you know, there's different types of players. You know, I'm sure we're going to talk about the PGA, but if you look at like a Jason Duffner versus a Jim Furyk versus, you know, Bubba Watson, mm-hmm. totally different type of players and how they see the game, how they learn the game. Golf is part science, part artistry, part imagination. And each one of our guys comes into this program with a little different way of how they learn, how they see shots, how they feel. And part of our one of our biggest challenges is making sure we never teach them in a way that isn't best for them to learn. Mm-hmm. If you're a guy who likes to learn through video or through you know, mechanics, you want to know about things that are finite, well, then we need to know that. If you're a guy who needs to talk about how it's going to feel, what it's going to look like, and what your body's going to feel like, then we need to know that as well. So one of the big challenges is we can't paint them all with the same brush. Mm-hmm. And I'm a left brainer. Now I'm a clock watcher. I need to schedule, you know, and right. structure. A putt to me breaks 4 inches left to right, so I aim 4 inches left of the hole.
Right.
A right brainer doesn't see it that way. They see it totally differently. So we gotta make sure that we teach them all in the way that they can learn the best.
So how far? So right now, when you look at your coaching tenure so far at Michigan State, Casey, and you talk about those dynamics and the players you've come across over the years, looking at your team right now, how do the majority of them learn? Are they visual guys? Are they feel type of guys? How are they?
You know, it's funny because our guys are getting more athletic. You know, just this morning I was kind of updating some roster numbers, and you know, all the kids that are coming in now are between 6 foot and 6'4".
Wow.
You know, we've got some other prospects that all the way go up, you know, between 6'4 and 6'7". They're getting bigger. They're getting stronger. Golf is becoming a more athletic game. You know, in almost every other sport, the ball is moving.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an athleticism there. In golf, sometimes, because that ball is just sitting there,
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, there can be a lot of analysis. Today's players are physically and from a science standpoint with their equipment better than they've ever been. I think most of the time what we're doing is trying to make sure they know how to play the game, not just make a perfect swing mm-hmm. or not understand all the science behind it, but how to play the game, what it's going to feel like. You know, if you're coming down the stretch in the PGA Championship yesterday and you got a lead, what's it going to feel like? Now, don't just tell me the mechanics, but tell me, you know, what your body's going to be feeling. So that's part of a big focus right now. The kids are getting so much stronger now. Mm-hmm. They hit it so far. It's literally mind-blowing how far the golf ball is going and what's happening to our golf courses because they're right. shrinking day by day.
Wow, unbelievable. So on average, about how far are these kids driving? And they're between, you said, 6 feet and 6'4". That's a huge team, Casey. My goodness.
Yeah, no, I'm recruiting. This is a secondary team for Izzo, actually. You know, mm-hmm. if golf doesn't work out, they can go play over there for him. you know,
exactly.
it's quite remarkable. But, you know, an average player now hits 300 yards in the air.
Wow.
When I was playing 10 years ago, if you got one 300 yards, well, then you were playing in Texas, and it was downwind and firm.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But now they fly at 300.
That's unbelievable. On average, 300 yards. I will pray one day I can get to hit a ball 300 yards.
A little training, Al. You'll get right there.
I need to work with you, Casey, because, man.
You got it.
Oh, my goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking to the current coach of the Michigan State men's golf team. He's a great guy, Casey LeBron. Thanks so much for joining me again, Casey. Now, you have just the schedule for you guys has just been released, well, at the beginning of this month, and you will be kicking off the fall season on September 8th and 9th at Gopher Invitational, hosted by Minnesota. Now, how is this team's preparation for the start of the season coming, and what are the goals, Casey?
Yeah, good question. I think a lot of those things are TBD right now. We have this year's team. We have 9 guys who are healthy enough to compete. We got a senior who's going through a major surgery. We're hoping we'll get him back. But of the 9 guys who are going to be ready to go when we start, 6 of them are going to be freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, you compare that to basketball. Let's say 9 of Tom's 12 guys were freshmen. It's a major number, you know, 8 of his 12 guys. It's a major number for us. So we know they're talented. We know they're having big summers.
Mm-hmm.
Preparation will start. We can't start until the first day of classes on August 28th. It'll really be about getting some competition in, figuring out who's ready to play right away.
Wow.
Now, unfortunately, as hard as the transition can be from high school to college golf, our guys, our young guys, are going to have about a week and a half to figure it out.
So for you,
down the road. So we'll start by competing against each other. Unlike a lot of sports, I don't pick the starting lineup.
Right.
They do. But how they qualify against each other, we play five or six rounds. We take the low five guys, and we go to the first tournament. So I think it's going to be a discovery time for us. You know, we lost six guys from last year's team. So it's a totally new team. But we got two Mr. Golf winners coming in this year. We got the top 40 player from Chicago, very elite. We got Mitch Rutledge, one of our returning sophomores, is actually one under right now through 14 holes in the U.S. Amateur going on in Boston.
Yeah.
So we really got some talented guys, but we're going to be young. And that's, I think it's probably the first time I'm ready for summer to be over more than ever because I want to see these guys. I want to get them here. I want to get to work.
Right. Very, very true. Now, Casey, when you talk about such a young team that you have, I mean, how do you approach that as a coach, too? What is the message for incoming freshmen? You have so many freshmen. Is it kind of tough finding a leader on this team right now?
Yeah, you know, that's probably our biggest concern. Mitch Rutledge, a returning sophomore who played every event for us last year as a freshman, going to be very important. Carson Castellani, our Lansing City champion, great leader. Those guys are going to be extremely important because it's not about – golf is such an individual game. It's not all teamwork per se. But there is a lot of details that these guys have to worry about. We call it the 100 little things you got to do every day to be successful. Those are the things that we're worried about right now. That first week, how many of those details are we going to have to backtrack on, or can the guys stay on schedule, get everything going? And a leader is going to help them in that regard. When it comes to playing golf tournaments, these guys have been playing their whole lives in big-time stuff, so they'll know golf. Golf's the easy part. It's the rest of it that we're going to need some strong leaders to keep us on the right path.
Well, I am definitely looking forward to see how this season goes for you guys. Now, for you, Casey, you know, you've been here since 2011 now. If you look at your coaching tenure so far, how would you grade yourself?
You know, I think coaches are very critical on ourselves. I think that's part of our nature. I think we always want more. But when I take a step back and, you know, and I look at what we've done with the players we had, this summer has been cool for me to look back and really reflect. Because we you know, we lost six guys. Five of those guys were seniors. We looked back and we saw how far they came. You know, we won in Notre Dame last year. We finished second in the Big Ten match play. You know, we were a top 75-80 team all year. Big strides from where we were 2 years previously. You know, when I took over this job, we were 198th in the country.
Right.
And we've hovered inside that top 75 number. Had a couple great finishes, two tournament wins. We've come a long ways. Five academic All-Americans, an All-Big Ten player. We got a guy playing the European Tour event next week in Wales. I mean, we've come a long ways.
Yeah.
But it's going to be fun for us as we put our imprint in recruiting now. You know, 8 of these 10 guys will be recruited by this staff. It's going to be fun for us to see, you know, what the next steps are. But I'm really proud of what we've done so far.
Right, and I believe the Euro Tour is Matthew Mosley, right? He's out there?
Yeah, Mo is, you know, a kid that, you know, European recruiting and international recruiting is a huge part of college golf now. And Matthew's a guy that we inherited. I think we kind of caught him when we got here. He's kind of in a slump. And we watched a kid go from, you know, a middle-of-the-road Big Ten player to being an elite player in 2 years. And, you know, in Wales, he grew up in a Welsh farming family.
Wow.
His desire is incredibly strong. For him to get his first European Tour start, you know, for Americans who don't follow the European Tour, it's a big-time tour. It's right there with the PGA Tour. For him to get a start and then his national championship, the Welsh Open, it's going to be pretty special.
That is very, very special. Now, before I let you go, Casey, I got to ask you about the PGA Championship. I'm sure you caught a little bit over the weekend. Now, did you see Jason Duffner coming through and winning this thing at all?
If you watch his ball striking, I think most of us thought if he got off to a good start yesterday, he'd find a way to win. He's kind of been on the cusp there. But I got to tell you, watching golf is what I do, and watching him hit two-footers yesterday was terrifying, even me. He was really, really shaky from short range, but he was so good from 6 to 12 feet. And he hit it as good as I've ever seen anyone hit it in the final round of a major championship. Even though you can't see it on his face, obviously.
Yeah, he's such a plain, this black and white guy. I'm like, come on, show me some emotion, Jason. What is going on here?
He literally doesn't reveal anything, but you know he had to been grinding there mentally. And, you know, I think that he's one of the next great American players. You know, 36 years old, he's kind of come on the scene. Like I talked about in the very beginning, you never know in golf and when your confidence is going to really kick in, and now he's at the high point of his golf career. So no surprise there.
Right, that is so true. Now, you know, there's another aspect to this thing, and that's Tiger Woods, the world's number one golfer. Casey, hasn't won a major in 5 years. What in the world is going on with Tiger in your eyes?
Well, there's a progression. You know, he talked about it, and I think we all know it, you know, that when you make big changes and you have big life changes, which he obviously has, you know, practice is where it first starts to see success, and then maybe you'll have practice on or good success on Thursdays and Fridays, maybe you'll win regular tour events, but majors and the weekends of majors are the last step. And to be honest with you, golf swing looks as good as I think it ever has. His putting is a little sporadic, but I think he's just trying too hard right now in majors. I think he would, if he was on with us, he'd tell you that too. I mean, it's something he wants and so bad that we always joke about this game. Now, it's the only game that we know that doesn't reward hustle.
Right.
You can't just go try harder. That makes it worse.
Now
he's trying just a hair too hard. Once he wins one, the floodgates will open here, and I think he's going to win four or five more before his time's done.
So, Casey, is it a mental thing with Tiger? Because it seems, though, I mean, he's pulling out tournament wins. If you saw him at WGC, I mean, he just completely dominated the field, which he always has done at the WGC. But when it comes to majors, it seems as though just there's a mental aspect to it where he's like, all right, I'm playing a major. I haven't won in 5 years. He's, like you said, I think he may be thinking too much.
I think, you know, this is what he's built his life around, and it's not easy winning a major. You're trying to win one of the 4 weeks a year. You know, I think it's a lot harder than people give it credit for. And I think it speaks to his greatness in the early part of the 2000s. I mean, what he did from, you know, 99 to 2005, that's unheard of stuff. So it makes you appreciate how hard it is. He will get there. He's too good. He's too talented. He's too driven. His mechanics are too good. And, you know, part of that ability to make putts under pressure will come back. And I think you're going to see the best. I feel bad for him at times because the spotlight is so bright. You know, a lot of people complain. When you're watching the coverage on ESPN on Thursday, all they talk about is Tiger.
Right.
Well, that's what people want to watch from what I hear.
True.
That's hard for him. You know, when he has a ruling and it's scrutinized, well, most guys, they don't show every shot. So he's got a different little, you know, spotlight on him, and he just got to get comfortable again. But it's coming. There's no doubt about that.
So you do think he'll pass Jack?
I do. I think he's going to win one next year. And then, you know, once he wins one, he'll remember. It's like riding a bike for him. He'll remember how it goes. And, you know, Phil Mickelson has won 5 majors since he turned 33. I'm pretty sure Tiger's, you know, going to win at least a couple. He hasn't won since he turned 33, but these guys are so strong, they're so fit. He's got 7 to 10 years left to get it done.
Right, right. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking to Michigan State men's golf coach Casey Lubon. Casey, again, thanks so much for joining us. And, you know, before I let you go, there's one other aspect to the whole golf scene that I definitely want to talk to you about, and that's the issue with the belly putter. Now, I know the PGA is changing its rules, saying that you can no longer anchor your putter when you're out there on the green. For those out there that don't know what anchoring a putter is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Casey, I believe it's, you know, when you're putting the shaft towards your body and it's touching some portion of your body, and you're using your body to sort of anchor the putter into the hole. Now, from a coach's standpoint, what do you see wrong with that, if anything, and do you think the PGA is doing the right thing in letting this aspect of golf go?
The hard part with this for me is I don't think the rule is a bad rule. A fixed point, an anchoring point, does make putting a lot easier. My problem with the ruling now is it's too late. I mean, guys have been building careers around this for decades. You look at a guy like Carl Peterson, who played NC State from Sweden. You look at Tim Clark. you look at Adam Scott. Now, these guys are building careers and their livings around putting like this.
Right.
And we're going to take that away from them midstream. I don't know if I agree with that wholeheartedly. And there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are kind of on the fence. So it's going to be controversial. They've made the decision that the rest of the governing bodies have backed them to this point. That you're going to see some lawsuits, I think, from players who have earned a living putting this way. But if you've done it that way for 20 years and you're going to ask, you know, a very elite player to try and do it a different way, mm-hmm. it's like starting over from scratch for them. You know, I just think it's a big, big time decision they've made. And I don't think it's the biggest problem in golf today.
Right.
I think, you know, from my opinion, the biggest problem in golf today is the golf ball goes too far and too straight.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's made the game so easy for these guys is they can hit 320 yards when the ball doesn't curve.
Right.
You know, with all the technology. So I think it's a secondary issue that's become at the forefront and it's going to create a lot of controversy. We don't see a lot of anchored putting in college golf.
Oh, you don't? I was just about to ask you that. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's an ego thing a little bit. I think it's almost like you're resigning yourself to you can't do it conventional style, so you're going to use that crutch. But we don't see a lot of it. But I know if I was playing for a living and that's how I could get my ball in the hole and feed my family and have all the success, mm-hmm. that's what I'd be doing.
Exactly.
So I think it's certainly a hot-button issue, but I think there's some – there's two bigger things going on in the world of golf, and that's one, the golf ball's getting crazy, crazy long and crazy straight,
yeah.
and we're taking way too long to play this game. You know, college round now is lasting 5.5 to 6 hours,
right.
And that's really hurting the growth of the game.
Wow, I totally, so you don't see a big deal with the belly putting. And I, you know, when I looked at it too, I kind of take the stance that you take too, because when I'm out there playing, I've never even tried it. But they say it's a big advantage, Casey. I have no idea. I'm just going off what I hear.
I tell you what, when I try it, I putt a lot worse. So I think it's an advantage for some people and not
right.
for others. But it's certainly going to be something we continue to talk about in our game for the next couple of years.
Gotcha. All right, Casey, I'm going to let you go, man. But before I do, how can those listening keep up with you and your team?
Well, check us out on Twitter, obviously, at MSU Men's Golf. And starting today, I'm going to have my own Twitter account so that I can talk a little more about the personal side of the game and some of my experiences.
Nice.
Obviously follow us on MSUSpartans.com. We got six tournaments this fall. It's going to be a wild, wild, crazy time, but I think you're going to see a lot of growth in this program, and we're just blessed to be doing what we're doing. You know, people ask you all the time, how are you doing? I say, well, I'm living the dream. And then I believe that entirely. This is the opportunity of a lifetime for me.
That is so true. And it's so funny. I was on Twitter right before the show aired, and I wanted to promote, you know, I wanted to find you on Twitter. I couldn't find you anywhere. I was baffled, Casey, that you don't have a Twitter. Unbelievable.
Well, you know, the big boss, you know, Mr. Hollis.
Uh-oh.
He has said he thinks it's a good idea, too. So I'm with him. He's a king of Twitter, so I'm gonna make sure that I have my own account by the end of the day today.
When the boss speaks, you got to listen, right?
You got to, especially a guy with that many good ideas.
Exactly. Well, there you have it. Casey LeBron, head coach of the MSU men's golf team. Hey, Casey, we'll be in touch, man.
Sounds great. Hey, thanks for having me.
No problem. All right. Well, we'll return to current sports. We will dive into our current sports section of the show. We'll remind you all, we are taking your calls right after the break. Don't hesitate. Pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. Let us hear your thoughts on anything that's on your mind. Stay tuned. More current sports is coming right at you.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, a glut of lobsters in Maine. Lobstermen say that climate change has increased their catch and prices are the lowest in 20 years.
Really, with the prices as low as they are, the lobstermen are doing the best they can to bring in as much poundage as they can. You can only work on quantity at these prices.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now coming up at 2 p.m.
7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Hey, good people, welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, as always, Al Martin. It's now time for Current Sports, giving you all of the latest sporting news concerning the good people of you. That's right, Mid-Michigan. All right, we're going to dive into that. We just finished up talking to Michigan State men's golf coach Casey Lubon. He was great, talking about the upcoming season for the MSU men's golf team. Again, they kick off the fall season on September 8th through 9th at the Gopher Invitational hosted by Minnesota. A lot of freshmen on that team. It's going to be very interesting to see how Casey deals with all of that. It's certainly an exciting time for them. All right, well, right now I'm joined by intern Mike Corey and production assistant Matt Lutke as we run down all of the latest sporting news that happened over the weekend. A lot going on, including the Tigers, who lose a weekend series against the New York Yankees 2-1. Now, Brett Gardner, he homered with two outs in the ninth inning yesterday to give the New York Yankees a 5-4 victory over the Tigers for their first series win in more than a month. And it came against the Tigers. Man, over the weekend, Mr. Automatic, Mariano Rivera, he gave up for the first time ever in his career. The legend, he gave up back-to-back homers to Miguel Cabrera. Oh my goodness, was that, and this show, that's just a pure testament to Miggy and how good he is. That's unbelievable. The solo shots made it 4-all and turned Alex Rodriguez's first homer. That's right, A-Rod hit his first homer of the season. It turned into just a footnote, folks, because of Miggy. Unbelievable. Now, on Friday night, Rivera, he gave up a two-run shot to Cabrera, who fouled two balls off his leg before launching the tying drive. Gardner ended up winning it, though, in the 10th with a single. Now, JV, he gave up seven hits and four runs in seven innings yesterday. He struck out nine and walked one, and A-Rod was given an error in the third on Martinez's slow roller that he ran in for but couldn't scoop it up in his glove. A-Rod getting his first homer of the season. He was tremendous. He was just booed left and right at the beginning of that game, but that homer certainly changed things around. Guys, did you catch the Tigers this weekend, and did you catch Miggy's impressive back-to-back homers on Mr. Automatic? That was sick, man.
I mean, not even fully healthy, and he can still come in and deliver in clutch moments against arguably the greatest relief pitcher in baseball history.
Yeah, that's special.
I mean,
yeah, twice,
not once,
not
but
once.
Twice.
I couldn't believe it. I when I saw it pop on my screen of my phone, I was like, no, that's got to be a typo. Someone at ESPN has screwed up. Whoever's running this Score Center app has screwed up and sent me this wrongly. And I just double checked, and I'm in awe of Miguel Cabrera.
He
is the best in baseball.
His legend grows, it seems like, every week.
Yes.
He just does something crazier and crazier. The stuff he does on the field is
It's just
is
it's unheard of.
Yeah,
it's
unheard, it is.
When his career is done, I'm curious to see where he will rank among the all-time greatest of all time. He's special. He's special, and it's certainly an honor and a privilege to turn on my TV every single day and watch Miguel Cabrera taking at bat. But yeah, so the Tigers, they lose the series. They lose the weekend series to the Yanks, 2-1. And Avila, Tigers catcher Alex Avila, he's going to be placed on the 7-day concussion disabled list. That was announced yesterday. Now, Avila, he was hit on the face mask by a foul tip in Cleveland last week and was checked out Thursday. He then passed test Friday morning and played Saturday, but after the game, felt lightheaded and some nausea. Now, Avila's teammates and opponents, they believe Avila takes more foul tips on the mask than any other catcher in baseball due to the Tigers' pitching staff having so many pitchers with plus stuff and late movement. Now, hitters have trouble centering the ball, and thus foul balls hit Avila's face. And Jim Leland was quoted saying, quote, "He takes more of a beating than any catcher I've seen," end quote. So Avila, get better, brother, right now. Again, he is placed on the 7-day concussion disabled list. They announced that yesterday. All right, Pistons, Detroit Pistons, they have contacted Jason Collins. Yes, they have had discussions with Jason Collins. The team isn't seriously considering signing the veteran center, though. That was just released this morning, according to Vincent Ellis of the Detroit News. So the Pistons were going after him, but Vincent Ellis is saying they're not serious about it. Now, ESPN first reported this, that the Pistons had, quote, exploratory interest, end quote, in Collins, and that the two sides had engaged in a preliminary talk, if you will. Now, Detroit is looking for another big man to back up Greg Monroe and Andre Drummond, and Collins could have potentially acted as a mentor to the youngsters. Now, we'll see how this pans out, though. This is just a report, as you know, as I'm saying right now. But Ellis reports that the Pistons are looking for a younger option with more miles left in the tank. Collins is 34 years old and hasn't averaged more than 11 minutes per game since the 2010-2011 season. And last year between the Boston Celtics and Washington Wizards, Collins appeared in only 38 contests and played 10 minutes per game. Now, he averaged just 1 point and one rebound. Of course, Jason Collins, for those of you who don't know, Jason Collins, he made headlines, national news, international news in April by becoming the first openly gay athlete in North America's four traditional major sports leagues. So interesting stuff there. All right, now for a more of a local tie in this thing, Trevor Manuel. Trevor Manuel, the former Lansing Sexton standout, he will continue his basketball career at Oak Hill Academy. Now, Manuel, he's a 6'9" forward who was regarded as one of the nation's top prospects in the 2015 recruiting class. He decided to transfer from Sexton in June. Now, his decision was based partly on Coach Carlton Valentine, who we had on the show last week talking about why he departed Lansing Sexton and stepped down as their head basketball coach. Manuel, he reached the decision over the last few days and will report to the school on August 30th. His father, James Manuel, said this, reported this Saturday evening. Now, Oak Hill Academy, if you know Oak Hill Academy, if you're sitting driving in your car or sitting at home and you're saying, Oak Hill Academy, I know that name. That's because it is located in Wilson, Virginia, and is one of the nation's top prep schools. NBA stars like Carmelo Anthony, Rajon Rondo, Steven Jackson, and recent Detroit Pistons acquisition Brandon Jennings and Josh Smith are among the school's alums. I mean, they just breed NBA talent. Guys, do you think this is a good move for Manuel? I mean, it's a great school, I tell you that. Did you guys get a chance to watch Trevor a lot?
I hadn't, but anytime you go to Oak Hill, you're going to raise your profile.
You are.
As far as recruiting nationally. I mean, what Kentucky has become, putting guys in the NBA, Oak Hill is putting guys into, you know, high-level D1 colleges as far as, you know, their college career goes. So if you want to raise your profile, that's definitely the move to make. I mean, that is, like you said, it is a basketball factory. That's what they do.
He's already a good recruit. This is just putting him on just another level in terms of getting his name out there. So it's a perfect situation for him.
It is. And now when looking at this move, if I'm looking at the worst of the worst, you could look at it on this end. I mean, there, like you said, there's a lot of talent in Oak Hill, tons of talent there. And my only worry when looking at this move is if Trevor Manuel, if his game will kind of acclimate into the Oak Hill style. There's a lot of stars. If he'll take the back seat and become a bench warmer, I don't know, because there's a lot of talent that he will now be competing with on that team. Will his game take a back seat to that talent? Is he good enough to play for Oak Hill? Time will tell. If there's any bad scenario that could come out of this, I mean, he's possibly risking, you know, possibly dropping in those recruiting ranks right now by playing with talent that is off the charts, which Oak Hill breeds, as we just talked about. So, but, you know, we'll see. James Manuel, released a quote saying, quote, basically what we're looking for was longevity in the program. So, end quote. I mean, that's certainly a great move. We'll see how it turns out. All right. Jason Duffner, he wins the PGA Championship, as we talked about at the top of the hour, with MSU men's golf coach Casey Lubon. Jason Duffner, he had a magical weekend, folks. After tying a record for the lowest round in a major with 63 on Friday, Duffner held off Jim Furyk with a 2-under 68 to win the PGA Championship on Sunday. Here's Duffner afterwards talking about how he feels.
Yeah, it's definitely going to change my life, you know, but I'm determined that it's not going to change me. There's a lot of things that are going to come up tournament-wise, different tournaments I can play in, different opportunities that are come my way. And I'm going to have to deal with that. I got a great circle of people around me, from my management team to my caddy to my wife to my coach, that I'm looking for them to keep me in check, to make sure that it doesn't change me.
Yeah, Duffner, who famously blew a five-stroke lead with four holes to play at the PGA in 2011, he eventually, you know, losing a playoff to Keegan Bradley, was calm, cool, and collected on the final holes yesterday before capturing his first major championship. Now, Duffner, something, it's so funny to me when I was looking at, you know, him trying to, quote-unquote, celebrate his PGA championship. I mean, he's just such a, just a boring guy. Just a boring guy. I mean, after he won, I mean, there was really no smile, no fist pump, no, yeah, nothing. Just like, all right, give me my trophy. I'm ready to go home, take a nap. That's basically what I got. And it was so funny because I went on Twitter right after he won, and Duffnering, they're using his name as a verb. People were using his name, his last name, as a verb. Duffnering, which is supposedly, you know, just being boring or just being plain and simple, that was trending worldwide on Twitter yesterday. But, you know, it's kind of funny, but at the same time, it's like, and Aaron, you know, made a great comment before we hit the air. I mean, when we're looking at these bites, Aaron made a comment and said, you know, that's what makes Tiger Woods so intriguing compared to any other golfer, because every other golfer, it seems as though, is just so boring compared to Tiger. I don't know.
Well, you know, they say act like you've been there before, and Duffner, he was acting like he had been there before hundreds of times, and that he was over it. You know, I'm already focused on next year's PGA.
If you thought he won 20 majors in a row.
Right. Yeah, like this is just par for the course. Right. No pun intended. But, you know, he did it. He won. He can celebrate any way he wants.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like he said, they'll never take his name off the trophy. He'll always have it, and you know, he finally got the one off his back. Now, let's see. Maybe next time, if he wins another major, that'll be the one where he goes crazy.
I hope.
You know?
Happy Gilmore style.
Man.
Maybe he gets this feedback and starts playing with the public's perception of Duffnering.
Yeah, because I tell you what, after he won, I was just like, this has to be the most boring celebration I've ever seen in my life. It was just so nonchalant. But that's what makes Jason Duffner Jason Duffner. He's been doing that for years.
Exactly.
So, man, so congrats to Jason Duffner. Again, he pulls off the PGA Championship this year with just a magical round. He actually recorded, he was tying the lowest round in a major with 63 on Friday. That kind of steamrolled him into an incredible weekend, and he was the man hosting that trophy. And afterwards, you know, he was asked, how did it feel to win?
Feels great. You know, probably hasn't sunk in. I've been running around here, and, you know, today was a tough day. The golf course, again, played pretty tough. You know, me and Jim, it kind of came down to a two-man race there at the end, and he's a great champion. He's played, you know, so well in so many majors, and he's been there before, so it was a tough test for me. The golf course was tough, but, you know, like you said, my name will always be on this trophy, and nobody can take that away from me, so it's a great accomplishment for me, and I'm really excited about it.
Oh, God. Aaron, wake up, man. Wake up. Aaron just fell asleep listening to that bite. That bite was so boring. Oh, my goodness. But, hey, congrats, Jason Duffner. I hope you get some more. And take a Red Bull. You should just take it. Well, maybe he doesn't need to take a Red Bull because he's winning without it. I don't know. All right. Kyle Busch at Watkins Glen yesterday. NASCAR's race at Watkins Glen was almost a blast from the past for Kyle Busch, but he managed to pull off a victory over Brad Keselowski. Now, he was bumped aside a year ago by Keselowski on the final lap as they sped around an oil-covered track. Busch held the reigning Sprint Cup champion at bay on a two-lap dash to the checkered flag yesterday. Busch kept his foot on the accelerator and a tad longer than his usual post-race burnout, and even sticking half of his body out the window while smoke swirled around and his tires kept churning. So he held off Brad Keselowski for one incredible win. Congrats to Kyle Busch. And Usain Bolt, 2 years after a false start spoiled his chances at gold, Usain Bolt reclaimed his title in the 100-meter World Championships, blowing by American Justin Gatlin and finishing 9.77 seconds. Unbelievable. And rain was just, looking at this report, rain was just pouring down the entire race, but Bolt pulls it off. It wasn't easy, though. I mean, if you're looking at Usain Bolt standards, I mean, he was actually losing the race to Gatlin at one point and ended up pulling through midway of the race. And Gatlin, who finished second, congratulated Bolt after the race, a rarity for the sprinting rivals. Quote, for him to say to me, hey, you're the guy who pushes me to go even faster, I'm honored to that, Gatlin said, but I thought I had it for a second. And also Rafael Nadal and Serena Williams, they both win the Rogers Cup. I don't believe we made a pick on that. I don't know how that slipped through our fingers, but congrats to Serena and Rafael Nadal. And Michael Jordan, he wild campers at his annual flight school camp in California over the weekend, showing that his airness still has some air in him. I tell you what, at 50 years old, in a pair of jeans and Air Jordans, Michael Jordan pulled off a pretty nice dunk at the camp. He went by, I forget, he was playing one-on-one with a young camper there. The play before that, he went right by him, got him with a pump fake for a layup. It shows you how big of a Michael Jordan fan. I actually watched the entire one-on-one match online. I tell you, it's so sad. But he went by him with an easy layup, beautiful Jordan-esque. And then on the second one, he just went right by him and just slammed it. I couldn't believe he still could get up like that. But Michael Jordan, he's still got some springs in him, guys.
Hey, he looks good when he's playing against a seven-year-old. He owned the lane right there.
That's very true, but it's still, I'm the Jordan freak, so I'm watching. If Michael Jordan was to go out right now and there was a camera on him, he was just shooting in his backyard, I would act like it's the NBA Finals. Because
absolutely.
I love him that much.
Why not?
Yeah.
How many kids are going to be able to say, I saw Michael Jordan dunk in person when they're, you know, being a seven-year-old now?
Yes.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
He's only
got
a few years left, I feel.
Only a few years. He's 50 years old. Man, time is flying, guys. And, I'm just going to put this out there. It's on our Facebook page right now. I believe I tweeted it. No, I don't think I tweeted it. It's on my Facebook and the Current Sports Facebook page. But, guys, did you see Russell Westbrook, what he wore at the Teen Choice Awards for Nickelodeon yesterday?
Yeah, he stole my outfit.
I tell you, if you're wearing that, Mike, oh, man, we got to talk, brother. That's crazy. I mean, he looked like a Power Ranger. Power. If you haven't seen the photo, go on our Facebook page, facebook.com/currentsports. Russell Westbrook.
He looks like he cut the sleeves off of a Eddie Murphy stand-up routine costume.
Yeah, he looks like he's getting, like, tips on how to dress from Prince or something. It's crazy stuff. Check it out. It's hilarious and disturbing at the same time. No grown man should wear capris. I'm just saying. All right, ladies and gents, well, we have to move on to our last segment of Current Sports. We invite motivational speaker DeAndre Carter. That's right, DC. He's going to join us for Motivational Monday. Keep it locked right here. Receive from Motivation to start your work week as DeAndre delivers another unforgettable message with a sports twist. Don't go anywhere. We got more Current Sports coming right at you.
I carried a suitcase of money, drug money, once. 10 years ago.
That's a clip from Orange is the New Black, the new Netflix series. It's based on the memoir by Piper Kerman. On the next Fresh Air, Piper Kerman talks about her year in a minimum security prison and seeing her story turned into television. Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock.
You count on All Things Considered for many reasons. The biggest stories of the day, from around the world to your own backyard. The thoughtful commentaries, the insightful features, or all of the above. All Things Considered has been your trusted source for news every afternoon. I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered, and glad to be a part of this show. I'll see you at 4 this afternoon.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, today is the second Monday that we'll be doing our special segment with a man who has been motivating people from all over the country for years. Now, he works for the undergraduate division at Michigan State University while also serving as a motivational speaker. Was one of my mentors throughout my time at Michigan State University, and we invite him to the show for our second Motivational Monday segment. So with this segment, we aim to have a lot of fun with it every week. DeAndre will hit the air and address a specific sports topic and try to provide some motivation in that topical area. For example, a speech on how to mentor Johnny Manziel on staying out of trouble, or how to motivate Tiger Woods on getting out of his 5-year major drought. Hey, that's one of our topics today. As you see, the possibilities are endless, and we encourage all of you out there to be a part of it. We are giving you an opportunity to submit an idea that you have that you would like to see DeAndre motivate when it comes to an athlete, fan base, or other topic. Go to our Facebook page, tweet me, or email me, or even hit DeAndre up directly. So, DeAndre, are you ready?
All right, thanks, Al. I appreciate the opportunity to be here again to share a very special message. We have several messages, and the first one I want to start with is Tiger Woods. This one's for Tiger. Tiger, it's very simple. Everybody knows that you're going through a drought. Everybody knows that tough times are visiting you right now. And the thing that I want to share with you is very simple. Tiger, it's a numbers game. This is a numbers game. The number is not 18, although that is the amount of tournaments in which you have had a drought and not accomplishing your goal of getting a major. 18 is also the number of titles that Jack Nicklaus has, the magic number that you've been chasing. The number is not 14. That's the number of majors that you have already notched on your belt, but that's not the number. 5 is not the number, although that represents the number of years in which you have not won a major. And we know that something major occurred, but what I am here to let you know that the number, the thing that you're seeking for, the number is one. One focus, one goal, one mission. And you'll be surprised to know that it is not to win one more major. It is to one day find that guy. That guy who was so focused that everyone in the world paid attention as he did his job. One day, you have to find that guy. That Tiger that existed, who had the focus, who had the sheer will and determination to put everything he had into his craft to create a result. The one you have to find is your true self. Tiger, that's the magic number. One. The one day that you find out and recapture who you really are and who you used to be. Because we, the world, are waiting on that guy again. One day. All right, our next story is a little bit more lighthearted. We're going to have a chuckle at the expense of a gentleman that you may not have heard of, but after this moment, you'll know exactly who he is. This one's for you, J.J. Putts. Now, you may be asking, who is J.J. Putts and why are we talking about him? Let me explain. J.J. Putts is the relief pitcher for the Arizona Diamondbacks, and on Saturday, he had what we like to call a memorable mistake. So let me explain. Let me paint the picture for you. So J.J. Putts is on the mound. Everyone who knows baseball knows that a pitcher is focused. He's watching the catcher. He's looking at the bases. He's positioning the ball, getting ready to deliver his pitch. He's locked in, and as he gets ready to pitch, all of a sudden, a sound directly from a nightmare hits J.J. Putts' ears, and he throws the ball not toward the catcher, but directly in front of himself, right at his own feet. It was like a spike. It was like he mixed up sports, like it was a slam dunk slash spike right on the mound. And, of course, the pitch didn't count because what happened is that sound, it sounded like it came from a nightmare, actually came from the PA system of the stadium. Yes, the sound crew made an error during his delivery, which led to his memorable mistake. But just know this, JJ, we are not laughing at you. Hopefully we are laughing with you because that was a memorable moment and a great one. And, of course, we are saving the best for last. It is your MSU Spartan football team getting prepared for the 2013 season. And what I would say and share with you is, men, this is your moment. This is your opportunity. This is a time to show the world what you already know, that you have the heart of a champion and that nothing short of victory is acceptable to you. See, football is a game. But it is a game unlike any other game. It demands a special part of you. It requires the best of you, and it challenges the core of you. It asks the best part of you to show up. So this is your opportunity to make sure that all of the hard work that you've put forth begins to pay off. Every practice, every throw, every block, every tackle, every catch, every carry, every time you read the playbook is going into the next moment. And what you want to do is make sure that you realize that this is bigger than a game. It's a game, but it's not. It's life. It's calling you out to say, show me what you have. Give me the best part of you. And once you do that, once you give your very best, that is called greatness. And once you get the taste of greatness in your mouth, you cannot get it out. Greatness never leaves a man once he's lived a moment of it. So this is your opportunity to live greatness. This is your opportunity to give your very best. If you've never done it, I dare you. Try it today. Give everything you have. Because when you do, you feed the greater part of you and not the lesser part of you. And as you feed the greater part of you, it gets stronger and stronger. And you begin to develop a habit or an instinct for success. And that's what you must have to be successful on this football field today. And that's what you must have to be successful in life. Make sure that you do good and make your good better. And then make your better best. Because it will be very simple. You will look back at this moment. You will live it out. And you will say either one of two things. You will look back and say, I have conquered. Or you will look back and say, I have cowered. The choice is yours. Make it wisely.
Make it wisely. Man, dig it. Dig it, dig it. Thanks a lot, DeAndre Carter, for our Motivational Mondays with DeAndre Carter. Again, DeAndre will be here every Monday motivating on different sports topics that you throw out. Again, a great segment. All right, guys. Well, before we get out of here, man, the show flies by already 1:52. Can you believe that? All right. Before we get out of here, of course, it's Monday, so we got to give in our picks. And right now, just to give you guys an update, the standings read like this. Me and Mike, 3. Matt and Alex won. You guys are lagging behind right now. And it just reminded me, Matt. Tomorrow.
Thank heavens.
Oh, my. Thank heavens. Thank heavens. You are singing because you lost the month of July. Wow. You ready? I don't know what Alex is going to pick. Alex returned. He's been out on vacation, but he returns. He said he has something special for you. I don't know what it is. We're going to find out tomorrow.
Can't wait.
That's going to be a fun time. Tune in tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
And hear Matt's lovely voice.
Fingers crossed.
That's going to be fun.
Fingers crossed for Celine Dion.
We are going to see. We're going to see. All right. Mike, what you got for us this week, man?
All right. Beginning with today, Tigers start a 3-game series with the Chicago White Sox. It's at Chicago. Pitchers on the mound include Doug Fister, Max Scherzer, and Rick Porcell. Al, we will start with you.
Oh, well, I got to start with me. Okay. Why? You guys like hearing what I say first.
I know, but we're tied right now, so I want to see what you pick.
You're locked in already, so you chose Tigers 2-1. So yes, I'm going to throw it out there. So you chose Tigers 2-1. I'm going with 3-0. Yeah, I'm going with 3-0. I'm going
for
a sweep.
For the Tigers.
Give me a sweep. Give me a sweep.
It's a 3-0 White Sox, right?
Tigers. No, 3-0 Tigers.
You said 3-0. I'm going to assume that's a White Sox.
Nope, 3-0 Tigers. The Tigers will beat the Chicago White Sox 3-0. That's what I'm going with. What you got, Matt?
I'm
going
to go 2-1 Tigers.
Nice.
All right, and then after that, the Kansas City Royals will visit Detroit for a 5-game series. The Friday game is a doubleheader. Right now, only two pitchers have been announced. Anibal Sanchez on the Thursday game, and Justin Verlander will pitch the first game on Friday. I'll announce mine. I'll do my own announcement pick this time out. This is a little difficult. I thought it was going to go 4-1 or 3-2. I'm going 3-2 Tigers.
I'm also going with 3-2 Tigers.
Well, then I'm going to be boring and go with 3-2 Tigers as well.
3-2 Tigers as well.
It's just strategy, guys.
You are boring, man.
Strategy, baby.
I'm Duffnering my picks this week.
I like that. That's very clever. I like that.
All right. We tried this once before, and when we're saying how many home runs will Mickey hit during a series, he got hurt there in the last series. Let's try this again. How many home runs will Mickey hit during the 5-game Kansas City Royals series? Matt, why don't we start with you?
Well, last time I said 1, and then he got hurt before hitting any, which... Yeah. I was so close. I thought I had that one in the bag. I'm going to go... It's tough. I'm going to go with 2.
Go with 2. Al, how many do you think?
I also had 2 for me. I'm going with 2 for me as well.
I'm going to go 3. I think the extra game will... Maybe I think he'll hit at least... Maybe they'll have a game where he'll hit 2 in a game.
I wouldn't be surprised if the man hit 20. It's Miguel Cabrera.
All right, the Lions will have their second preseason game. I believe it's on Thursday. Also, with your picking of the winner of the game, we'll try this again. The correct score will give you 5 points for that win.
Yeah, I'm going to get one of these.
I'll start off. I'll say the Lions will win 27-20. Matt, how about you?
Cleveland 23-17.
Wow. Well, you had me right on the score, Matt. I had 23-17 as well, but in the other direction. I had the Lions 23-17.
All right, let's go back to baseball. The New York Yankees, who just picked up the 2-1 win over the Tigers against the Boston Red Sox, that heated rivalry in the AL East. 3-game series. I picked the Red Sox to win 2-1. Al?
I also have the Sox winning 2-1.
Duffnering again. 2-1 Sox.
2-1 Sox. That's going to become like a regular term on the show now. I'm going to Duffner here, and I'm just going to go with all you guys.
All right, and the final game we have listed here is the Atlanta Falcons at the Baltimore Ravens, two teams that made it to their respective championship games last season. 5 points for the correct score. Matt, who do you got?
I'm going first again.
Yep.
Jeez. No, Mike, see, you go.
You want me to go? Want
yeah,
me to
yeah,
go?
Yeah, we'll just
go,
step
all
up.
Right, no, no, no. I will go. I will go with the defending Super Bowl champions, Ravens, in a 28-24 win.
Okay, I'm going to go Ravens 28-17.
I want a Duffner here and go with the Ravens as well. But something, I don't know, something's a little bit birdie is on my shoulder.
Well, they're both birds. They're both bird mascots.
You're right. You're right. Give me the Falcons. I'm going to go with the Falcons 24-17.
And Alex has none of these filled in, so we'll just default everything for him.
Yeah, well, no, he'll get his picks in later on today. All right, so right now, again, standings. Me and Mike are tied at 3-3, and Matt and Alex are down 1-1. All right, well, 3 minutes left in the show, guys. How was your weekend? What you guys do? Did you guys do anything special? Breaking
awesome.
Bad premiere.
Breaking it was so
Bad.
Good.
Oh, yep. My
absolutely
goodness.
Jam-packed.
I, this show is unbelievable. It's up there with my favorite shows of all time. It's like The Wire. Then you got Game of Thrones is up there, too, and Breaking Bad.
See, I think Breaking Bad is better than Game of Thrones.
Do you?
Yeah. I love Game of Thrones.
Really?
But Breaking Bad.
Absolutely.
Wow.
It's crazy.
I don't know. As soon as
the garage door went down last night, it was like everybody leaned forward, and you're just watching, and it was just dialogue.
It was.
Like, Game of Thrones, yeah. you know, you get excited for the big, you know, blowing crap up moments, but Breaking Bad, it's like a silent conversation can be just as entertaining as, you know.
That's true.
You know, blowing
just as,
something
just as,
huge
and
up.
Just
it's
as
crazy.
Just as dramatic as well.
Absolutely.
It's pretty dramatic. It has a great storyline, great actors. I don't know. It's tough, man. I don't know. Game of Thrones. Maybe because Game of Thrones is new to me. And I've been watching watching Breaking Bad for a while now.
That's
and
true.
Game of Thrones is new, and well, it's like, oh, man.
The thing for me is what Breaking Bad can do, they can do so much by saying so little.
Yeah, that's true. That scene in the garage was – I don't want to give it away because there's people out there who probably haven't seen the episode or, you know.
You got to catch up on the DVR.
Man, it was fun stuff. All right, wow. What a show. Matt will be rocking the mic tomorrow. As he loses the month of July. That should be fun. Alex Shar, he joins us. He's returned from his vacation tomorrow. Fun stuff. Good show, guys. All right. Well, before we leave, we give a special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Alex Shar and Matt Lucky, production assistants, intern Mike Corey, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to Casey Dubon and DeAndre Carter for joining us. Casey, great insight on the PGA Championship, and DeAndre Carter always on his Motivational Sunday. And also, again, you can recommend any motivational topic that you would like to hear DC speak upon. You can tweet me, Al Martin, WKAR. Email me at almartin@wkar.org, or even Facebook us at facebook.com/currentsports. Thanks to all of you for tuning in. We really appreciate it. Same time, same place tomorrow. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. Hey, take care. God bless and be easy, people.